Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
God has an amazing adventure for all of us. But truth is, very few people find it.
How do you discover the way from a life of distraction to devotion?
From loneliness to thick community.
From a scarcity mindset to a mentality of abundance.
From feeling stuck spiritually to a life charged with purpose and meaning.
Good news. Jesus promised, I am the way.
Let's follow Jesus together in the real world.
All right, good morning, everybody. Let's welcome all our campuses and church online. Good to see you guys. I'm Pastor Tim. So glad you're here for part three of our series, The Way. Yes, I look a little tanner. It's not just the Shekinah glory. I was down in Florida, actually, for the past week, visiting our campus in South Florida. I feel like during COVID, half of New Jersey moved to Florida. So I just want to go and minister to them. No, just kidding. My wife and I had a chance to stay with a friend at their apartment. And I wanted today, I think it's going to help you. I want you to get a little taste of what I had this past week. We've been teaching you these practices of Jesus that led to a life of flourishing, right? A faith that actually is deepening and not going through the motions. And we're talking about the way. We're talking about seven proven practices and that Jesus himself practiced for a life of peace, of a sense of being with God. And Jesus chose the way first. We learned about intentional community. He went out of isolation. He had a small group of 12 friends. Many of you stepped into a small group. We looked at the way of daily devotions last week. We started every day. Jesus had one-on-one time with his Father in heaven. And last week, Pastor Kyra challenged you to read the Gospels with us for 40 days. How many of you listened to an audio devotional last week? Okay, awesome. That's great. Fantastic. Yeah. During Lent, Lent is 40 days leading up to Easter when Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. What we're doing is we're starting our mornings with scripture instead of scrolling on our screens, okay? We're going to actually listen to a chapter a day from the Gospels of Mark and Luke. And it's just a great way to kind of, before you hear the voices of the world, hear the voice of God. While you're making breakfast, you can listen while you're exercising on your treadmill or commuting to work or putting on makeup, whatever it is. It's 5 or 10 minutes to listen. It's not too late to join us. So if that's you, download this in the Liquid app or just text gospel to 85737. You'll get the audio devotional tomorrow. But today, I think it's a fun message. I think it's a liberating message that I can't wait to share with you. This week, I believe Jesus is telling you specifically, are you ready? Here's his message to you. Take the day off. Okay? Turn to your neighbor right now and tell him and say, take the day off this week. Take the day off. You're welcome. In fact, Jesus says, hey, take one off next week. Take one off the week after that. Yeah, I think a lot of us who feel maybe stressed out or struggle with workaholism need to hear this. Anybody here, you know, feel like, you know, there's not enough hours in the day. If we just add some hours, maybe I'd get stuff done, right? Your work's never done. Maybe you are chronically stressed, right? You're caffeinating throughout the day, drinking coffee in the morning, Red Bull, Celsius all through the day. You've got difficulty relaxing. It's taking a toll on your relationships. Have you ever had that? It's like you bring your work home with you and now there's more stress in the home and you're snippy and snappy at the kids and no peace. You're doing a lot, but here's the thing. There's no time to enjoy any of it. And if you feel that way, you're not alone. I can relate. Can I tell you about my brush with burnout? About 15 years ago, it was 2 years after launching this church, my wife Colleen was at home raising our children. We had 2 kids under the age of 5. I see you parents, survival. And it was really interesting because the church had just started and we were growing, but our kids are at home growing. And Colleen said, hey, I need you at home a little bit more because at that point I was working every day of the week, 7 days a week, okay? And if you're an entrepreneur, or you start a business or something, you guys get this. It's exciting, right? I didn't even feel like work. It was like, I just love it. We started the church. We're like, was anybody going to show up? And a lot of people showed up. And she was like, Tim, I do need you home at least for, you know, one night a week. Because I was out like five nights every week and working 7 days. And it was really interesting because she's a super high capacity woman, leads her own, you know, business. But we had these 2 little kids under 5. And I was like, okay, honey, I will take a day off after Easter. Okay. So like, you know, and then after Easter, everyone shows up. I'll take a day off after we do this outreach or after I'll take a day after Christmas. And I kept kicking the can down the road. I didn't mean anything by it. I was just the way I, you know, like I'm an Enneagram 3, like, go get them. And I will never forget the day the bill came due. Because I came home from work, it was like a Tuesday night, and supposed to be home at 6. Of course, I'm an hour late, it's 7 o'clock. This is how I rolled in those days, early marriage, stupid. And I walked in, and my wife was actually sitting on the couch crying. She had mascara coming down, and Colleen is not a, you know, dramatic person. I thought somebody hurt our kids. So I come in, and I'm going, honey, what is it? And she goes, I can't. She couldn't even speak. She was so broken up. I said, what is it, honey? And she's crying. And I go, you can tell me. She goes, I just feel like you love her more than me. I said, what? You love her more than me? And I didn't know what she was talking about. I'm like, is she accusing me of an affair or something? I go, love her more than, love who more than you? And she said, that church, that stupid church. It was like a dagger to my heart. But the reality is, she was right. Ministry had become my mistress. I was addicted to progress and achievement. And somewhere in the distance, I heard a rooster crow. Because I swore I'd never be the guy who sacrifices his family on the altar of ministry. But here it was. I just had not heard her. I just tuned it out. And we were living an unsustainable pace and rhythm. And so, of course, I immediately repented. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I knew you've been saying this, but I really didn't hear you with my heart. And we actually went to marriage counseling. This is 15 years ago. I strongly encourage counseling sometimes, different seasons. But you guys know repentance isn't like, it's not just saying I'm sorry. You have to take action. And so we took a machete to my schedule. And we actually said, you know what? While our kids are young and they're in school, I'm only going to be out one night a week. And I was like, I'm going to leave the church. I'm only going to speak at Liquid. I'm not going to speak outside of leadership stuff until the kids are grown. And you know what made the biggest difference? I stopped sinning and took a Sabbath. Can you say that word Sabbath? Sabbath. Sabbath, or the Jewish word Shabbat. It literally means to stop and rest for one 24-hour period every week where you actually stop your doing so you can be a human being. Where you stop working so you can rest and be fully present to God who created you, to your family who loves you. And the Sabbath was transformational for us as a family. It is a key part of the way God designed your soul to flourish and grow. In fact, did you know this? Jesus himself observed the Sabbath every week of his life on earth. It was part of the way of worship he taught his disciples. Here's what Luke 4 says. It says, Jesus went as usual to the what? To the synagogue on when? The Sabbath, the Shabbat, and stood up to read the scriptures like I'm doing right now. So think about that. I know we always are like, well, you know, Jesus doesn't go to church like we're worshiping him. No, Jesus went to church every week like you are right now to worship God. So think about it. Jesus himself, the Son of God, had a spiritual rhythm of daily devotions, one-on-one time communing with his Heavenly Father. But then once a week, every 7 days on the Sabbath, Jesus stopped working. Notice the two words here. It says, Jesus went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Okay? Synagogue on the Sabbath. And so this is so important because it's like, well, what is this? What is a Sabbath? And it comes from that Hebrew word Shabbat. It literally means stop. Can you say stop? Stop it. Stop. Stop working. So Jesus stopped working on the Sabbath. Now for Jews, that was Saturday. And he went as usual to the what? To the synagogue. That was the local temple where Jews would gather to pray, read scripture, and worship God. That's what Jesus did. He stopped every 7 days so he could worship with his local community. In fact, here's something cool. Can I show you the synagogue in Capernaum where Jesus worshiped? That's a picture from our tour of Israel last May. This is in Capernaum in Galilee. It's actually called the Synagogue of Jesus, and that's actually where the literal place he went to church. In fact, our tour group, we actually read from the Gospel of Mark here, just as we're doing over Lent, and this is the local church where Jesus would stand up, read the scriptures, pray, heal the sick, and worship every week. So for Jesus, worshiping with his family is a key anchor of his spiritual rhythm. Luke says, Jesus went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath. So a key part of practicing the way is to do what Jesus did. Once a week for 24 hours, God wants you to stop work and worship God. That's literally what Sabbath means. Stop your work and worship. Turn your gaze fully back to your Creator God for one 24/7 period. Now, I understand right now some of you are freaking out because you're like, dude, I don't do what you do, man. The idea of taking one full 24-hour day off a week, it's radical. Especially in the Northeast, right? We live in this 24/7 world that's always kind of open for business, that wants you to, you know, work, 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 bell to bell, maximize your time, go faster, be productive. Well, let me tell you, as a recovering workaholic, for me, the Sabbath was kind of scary at first because I didn't get as much done. And I had to delegate some of my responsibilities as a leader. Actually, I had to give it to other gifted people who did it even better than I did. You know, and I was like, well, that's even scarier. But what a gift. The Sabbath transformed our marriage. It transformed our family. When my kids were old enough to go to elementary school, I would pick them up on Friday because Friday would be our Sabbath. Sunday I worked. And when my kids would come, you know, I'd wait for them out in the courtyard with my wife when they get out of school at 2:45, and the doors to school would swing open and my son would come out and he goes, Daddy, it's Sabbath time. And all the other parents would like look at me, you're like, are you Jewish? Like, what? I thought you were a priest. Like, what's the deal with that? My kids knew they got daddy to themselves 24 hours liquid free. And our marriage not only survived, watch this, it flourished. For 15 years, Colleen and I held to a Friday Sabbath that would culminate in a weekly lunch date. We would set aside time just to catch up because she was working, I was working, we still are. It would rebuild our intimacy because it gets lost during the week, right? The meat grinder of work, 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 work. And that was almost a decade, that was over, it was 15 years ago. Now, I just want to tell you, our kids are in college now. And can I tell you? I have no regrets. I am telling you, the Sabbath saved me. If God had not interrupted and said, Tim, stop it. Stop your type A drivenness of work, 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 work. I might have missed my kids growing up or messed up my marriage. Can you imagine that? You build a great church and lose your family? Have you seen this in the news at all? It's a violation of the Sabbath. It's tragic. The weekly Sabbath was a lifesaver for our family. And let me tell you, it dialed down the stress in our home and brought a sense of peace and a sustainable pace to our family life. So I'm just telling you, the Sabbath is a game changer. And that's why God put it smack in the center of the Ten Commandments. If you have a Bible or on your phone, you can flip to Exodus chapter 20. I want to show you why God wants you to take the day off this week and the week after that. Set aside a full 24-hour period every 7 days for worship. Now, what I'm about to read you, what we're going to read right now on the screen, this command is 3,500 years old, okay? These words were a spiritual practice God gave to his people Israel after he delivered them from slavery in Egypt. Now, here's what's kind of fun. When you think of the Ten Commandments, right, we think of what you should do not, right? Do not steal, do not lie, do not murder. We think of the things God says thou shall not do. Don't commit adultery. But this fourth commandment, God commands his people to do something radical. He says, take the day off, okay? Let's read together. Exodus 20, starting at verse 8, says this. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it what? Holy. That word holy just means set apart, set it apart. 6 days you should labor, do all your email, get all the file of the reports. But the seventh day is a what? A Sabbath, a Shabbat to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter. It's for the whole family. This is a gift to the whole family. Nor your male or female servant. So if you have people who work for you, I want them to have a Sabbath. Nor your animals, give the dog off. Nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Now, what's the reason God gives for working 6 days and stopping on the seventh? What's the reason behind the Sabbath? Listen to it. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, all that is in them. But what did he do? He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, a special day set apart just for worship. So you see, Sabbath has this very ancient origin. God actually says, I want to go back all the way to my work, the very beginning of creation, when I spoke into existence and created the heavens and the earth, the sky, the sea, the sun, the moon, the stars, plants and animals. God creates you, man and woman, human beings, all in 6 days. Woof! Not bad for a week's work, huh? Sometimes we're like, oh man, I've made a lot of progress this Monday. I cleaned out my inbox. God's like, really? I made Africa. But notice God did something amazing on the seventh day. He rested. He said, let me just take in what I've been doing. And he declared it good. Oh, this is really good. Look at it. This is so good. Now, if God took a day off after working 6 days straight, you think you don't need a day off? See, a true biblical Sabbath, it's more than just our version of an American weekend. Can I just say this? We kind of have this bastardized version of the weekend, which is just like, well, there's a Saturday and Sunday where we catch up on chores and we watch football and we binge Netflix and we go to Target and, you know, it's just more busyness. But a true biblical Sabbath is this 24-hour block of time in which followers of Jesus do four things. First thing we do is stop. Everyone say stop. We stop all our work. Now watch this. Both paid and unpaid work, okay? We stop our working, we stop our worrying, and secondly, we rest. Everyone take a deep breath. We rest our soul, meaning your whole person. Physically, some of you get to sleep in. Mentally and emotionally, you calm down. You relax, you reflect, you process the week with God. Where do I see God at work? Spiritually, you cease your striving and you just rest in God's love for you by abiding in Jesus, which, watch, leads us into worship. We gather for weekly worship with other believers, not just to go to church to check off a religious box. That's what I grew up doing. It's like, okay, time for church. And everyone's like, this is not relaxing. This is trauma, okay? Because it was like, oh, we just got to sit down, stand up, sing. Worship is a lot more than singing a few songs. Singing is what you do with your voice. Worship is what you do with your heart. In worship, we orient our hearts back to our Creator. We lift our voices. We lift our hands. We're like, Jesus is King. He's on the throne, the Savior of my soul, God who loves me. And so in Jewish thought, Sabbath was a day of delight. The idea behind delight is that you pamper your soul with activities that spark joy, gratitude, and happiness. Things like what brings you joy, right? You know, it's going out, you know, for a walk in the woods. It's going fishing, or it's eating. Maybe it's preparing good food, like a really good meal. I don't mean like going to Chili's, but like a really good meal. Or you spend time with your family, like uncreated time, like unscheduled. We just have downtime. Listen to music. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's reading a book for pleasure, or it's just opening a bottle of wine, or playing Jenga with your friends, whatever. Even in Jewish thought, I'm just telling you, do you know what is thought as a very high-level activity on the Sabbath in Jewish thought? Making love to your spouse. Suddenly, all the husbands sat up. They're like, what verse is this? Where is this? It's in Jewish tradition. Pay attention. He said, amen. Oh, I finally get an amen from Charlie. Where is it? First time Charlie said amen in church. All right. Hey. Those are the four qualities of a biblical Sabbath. Bro, now I'm not going to be able to think through my points here. You feel it? It's this beautiful invitation from God to you. He's like, slow down. Stop. Stop. For 24 hours, stop the crazy cycle. Rest, worship me. And right, praise God, it's liberating. Now, let's be honest. This is completely counterculture to the way our world works, isn't it? Like the way we talk about work-life balance. There's like a huge difference between a secular rhythm and a Sabbath rhythm. Let me show you the normal rhythm here in the Northeast. It looks something like this, right? It goes like this. It goes, work, 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 work. Vacation, right? I feel burned out. Okay, ready? Work, 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 work. Vacation. That's how Americans do it. We burn the candle at both ends, down to the nub, and when we're finally a crispy critter, we're fried, we're frazzled, we're like, I need a vacation, you know, so I can catch my breath. That's why, by the way, a lot of us get sick on vacation. You know that? Has that happened to you? Because your adrenal glands are shot, and you actually can't rest. That's the secular rhythm. In contrast, the Sabbath rhythm looks like this. Watch. It's Sabbath and then work. Let me show this. Put up on the screen. Sabbath
and then work. It's like in and out. Say Sabbath, work. Sabbath, work. I work, then I rest. I breathe in, I breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. On the Sabbath, you not only rest from your work. Watch this. On Monday, you now work from a place of rest because you're bringing your best self to your work. You're relaxed. You're well rested. You're cooperating with the divine rhythm that God built into the fabric of creation. Did you know that? Sabbath is literally, it's like it's woven into the fabric of the universe. Think about the rhythm of creation, right? That God's like, the sun rises and the sun sets. The tide goes in and the tide goes out. In 6 days, God created all that was made, and then he rested Sabbath on the seventh. There's a divine design to the days, weeks, and seasons, including you. God designed you to worship weekly. Sabbath, work. Sabbath, work. It's this rhythm of work, rest, and worship. So I said if Sabbath is embedded in the grain of the universe, yeah, like God wove it into the rhythms. Do you know what happens when you go against the grain? You get splinters, yeah? Like I did 15 years ago when I had my first brush with burnout, which is why God said, okay, I'm going to make it a command. You got to stop. I want 24 hours in your calendar where you cease all of your work, both paid and unpaid, and follow the example of your creator. 6 days, you should labor, do all your work, but the seventh day, put away the to-do list. It's a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work. In other words, God's like, I want you to let go of the illusion that you are in charge of the universe. Right? A lot of us think like, well, if I stop for, you know, one full day, like things would spin out of control. You are not running the world. God's like, I'm creator, you are created being, I want you to embrace your limits. So on the Sabbath, part of worship is just acknowledging, you know what? My work on earth will never be finished, and that's okay. King Jesus is on his throne. He is not panicking when you take a day off. God's like, I can actually run the universe without you, okay? Now, the traditional Jewish Sabbath, you guys probably know, it starts at sundown on Friday, and then it ends sundown on Saturday. But what happened is followers of the way, right? The first Christians, they moved the Sabbath to Sunday. Does anybody know why? Why do we celebrate on Sunday? It was to honor Jesus' resurrection from the dead on the first day of the week. So today is probably a Sabbath for many of you. How many of you, this is like your day off? You don't work, okay? You went to church, awesome. Hopefully you get some rest, some family time this afternoon, and still you start gearing up, right, to resume work on Monday morning. Now, how many of you are like me? You work on weekends. Anybody? You work weekends? Yeah. Sometimes Sunday is not a Sabbath for me. Okay, this is my most stressful day of the week. The day doesn't matter. What matters is that you set aside a 24-hour block of time in your heart that works with your schedule. So for our family, our Sabbath was on Friday. I typically work very late on Thursday just to get all the details for the weekend nailed down. And on Friday, I sleep in a little bit. Then we do a little workout. My wife and I, we go to lunch. I don't do anything related to liquid. I step back from my job as a pastor. I don't answer emails, return phone calls, write sermons. The Sabbath means you stop your work, paid and unpaid. So we don't just go to Costco and go crazy running chores. If you work at home, that means you actually stop running errands. You stop shopping, doing housework, so you can rest. Everyone say rest. Oh, God has rest for you. The Bible says by the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on that Sabbath day, he rested from all his work, his creativity. Then God blessed that seventh day, made it holy, because he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. In other words, you're made in the image of God. Since you're made in God's image, he designed you to enjoy rest like he did, which means on the Sabbath, you engage in activities that, watch this, are life-giving, not soul-sucking. Life-giving. What brings you life? Like, what is it for you? Is it riding a bike or taking a walk or reading a book for pleasure, photography, gardening? I don't know. Taking a nap? A good way to put it is this. If you work with your mind, you should rest with your hands. In other words, I actually like clean up doing yard work. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but it's because I'm always like reading and writing and things with the mind. So I actually rest with my hands. If you're in construction, you work with your hands, you should rest with your mind. Actually read a book. Do a different modality that feeds your soul. See, Sabbath requires a little bit of planning. Like, if you're going to really take a day off, biblically, You've got to use the other 6 days to complete all that unpaid work, the bills, the emails, taking the dog to the vet, right? Balancing the checkbook. That's the difference between a biblical Sabbath and our modern day version of the weekend. Our modern version of the weekend, it's an insane amount of running around. Yes? We did this for the first years of, with the kids, man. Once they started sports, it was like, we're just going to games and practices, dad's Uber, all of that. And it was like catching up on house projects, running to IKEA. There goes 8 hours. Basically, we just used the weekend to catch up on all the work that we didn't do during the week. That's unpaid work. But scripture says the Sabbath is holy. Everyone say holy.
Holy.
It's an important word. It means it was set aside by God for a special purpose. What is it? It's rest that leads us into worship. Notice it says the Sabbath day is a Sabbath to who? To you? To shopping? No, to the Lord your God. So the focus of a biblical Sabbath is worship. It's my soul needs 24 hours to spend time just receiving the love of my Father in heaven and declaring my love for Jesus. That's why we gather for worship, guys, on Sunday. Why are we carving out time to sing praises to God? We're receiving teaching from his word. It's to grow our intimacy with Christ. So understand something. Gathering with other believers for corporate worship is vital. It's a foundational anchor for Jesus and followers of the way. The problem is when I say worship, most of us don't understand worship. We think it's just music, right? Like music, like worship, isn't that like a musical genre? If I ask you like, what is worship? You're like, oh, it's the three songs before the sermon, right? Like Christian karaoke. Like we have professionals leading and then we just kind of, you know, hands in the pockets. Yeah, I'm a holy, holy. We just mouth, no. Sabbath worship is a whole lot more. In fact, I talked to Clint Taylor this week, our worship pastor at Liquid. I said, Clint, can you help us understand the heart behind true worship? Listen to what he said.
Worship is not just music. I think maybe for a lot of us, we maybe assume that worship is just the music portion of the service. Worship is when we surrender or just give the entirety of our hearts back to God. See, when you first surrendered your heart over to Jesus, that was your first worship service. I think sometimes we focus more on how we want to worship God, but we forget that God actually has a desire for how he wants us to worship him. I think a lot of us think that praying and worshiping alone is enough, but it's not. Even when we look at the life of Jesus, we can see that he spent every Sabbath worshiping in the synagogue. Not only did he spend his time with his Father in the secret place, like a lot of us do, but he also praised God in public. But I think that there's an intensity when God's people come together and we combine our faith, we combine our passion, our pain, and our desperation for that experience with him. And I think that that intensity, it draws an encounter with his presence that I think is unique to when we come together and worship him as the bride. Music is a language that's put in the heart of every single person. I think music opens doors in our own hearts we may not have even known were there. And those open doors allow the presence and the truth of God to come rushing in like a flood, saturating new areas with his Holy Spirit. If you want to experience more of God in worship, just let go. Don't be afraid to raise your hands. Don't be afraid to raise your voice. Don't even be afraid to kneel down as a sign of physical humility in God's presence. Scripture says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And so God's presence brings change. I think of a man from one of our worship nights last year, came to a worship night when his marriage was falling apart, and he just stood in the back crying as he felt the love of God just begin to surround him. And that night he left with renewed hope and strength to fight for his family. He was gonna do whatever it took. I think of a woman I heard from last fall who came to one of our worship nights. And again, she had an encounter with God's presence. And she felt the tug on her heart. She heard his voice say, hey, I want you to get baptized. And then she did. She made her faith public for the first time here in our church. God says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. See, he wants us to pursue him together as his people. Because I believe the more heaven touches earth, the more earth looks like a family.
We thank Pastor Clint and all our worship leaders who lead us every week. Man, we're blessed, yeah? We are blessed, Brian, as a church, just with a powerful sense of worship. I love what Pastor Clint said. He said, worship is so much more than just music. Think of it this way. Singing is what we do with our voices, but worship is what we do with our hearts. It's about offering our hearts collectively back to God, and then we experience his presence in a powerful way. Because when you combine your faith with my faith, with her faith, with his faith, and we come into the presence of Jesus, man, it's powerful. So I just want to encourage you. Let me encourage you. Join us this Friday night for worship night, okay? Listen, let's hear for worship night, man. We're doing this Friday. Once a quarter, if you're new to our church, we come together as a whole church family for extended time in praise and worship. Because something powerful when we come together and lift our voices. Colleen and I love worship night. It's like one of our favorite things to do as a couple. You know why? Because we get to just kind of sit in the seats. We lift our hands. We lift our voices. We pray for people. We worship Jesus as a church family. Can I plant a seed in your spirit today? One of the things I'm praying for as a pastor, I want to see a shift in our church, a worship shift. Where there's this rising tide of worship. In other words, we pivot away from Christian karaoke to changing the atmosphere in the room with the presence of God. In Jesus' day, when people, you know what the Jews would sing? They would stand on their tiptoes and go, "Holy, holy, holy." Like right now, did you know, we're not like doing worship. We're joining a worship service in progress. Revelation says right now in heaven, you know what the angels are doing right now? They are bowing before the throne of Jesus and they're crying three words, "Holy, holy, holy." Say holy.
Holy.
Why do they sing it three times? Because if you say it twice, it's a superlative. Holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is a super superlative. It's like saying, God, you are awesomely awesome awesomeness. You know why? Because God exists in three persons. The Father is holy. Jesus is holy. The Spirit is holy. God is thrice blessed. And sometimes your soul just needs to cry out, holy, holy, holy. Why? Because whatever you don't turn into praise turns into pride. That's for somebody. If you don't turn what you do during the week into praise, it's going to turn into pride. And so on the Sabbath, we're redirecting our heart's gaze in worship back to God. So let me just invite you, this Friday at sundown, start your Sabbath by coming to worship night. We're hosting in two locations, north and south, Parsippany and Princeton. Doors open at 7 o'clock. And I just want to tell you guys, this is a radical concept. When God introduced this 3,500 years ago in Exodus, I think it's even more counterculture in 2024. Like here in the Northeast, fast-paced, right, very driven. I would suggest that we worship a different cultural idol, an idol called drivenness, which rewards busy people who work, highly productive, and no room for Sabbath worship. Dallas Willard said, hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life in our day. And the truth is, you can't be emotionally healthy and spiritually mature if you don't take a day off. You just can't do it. You get a lot done. But what's the profit of man to gain the world and lose his soul? Sabbath is essential for every follower of Jesus who wants to grow deeper in faith, love, and experience more of God. In fact, I think that's the number one spiritual enemy that's going to tempt you this week, to skip the Sabbath, because you're going to be like, I need that. But then you're going to go back home, and there's a spirit of workaholism. I was addicted to it. I speak this from experience. I have no judgment for you. I consider myself a recovering workaholic because I'm an A-type leader. I'm a 3 on the Enneagram, if that means anything to you. And I can get really caught up and laser focused on work because I'm passionate about it. I love big projects, casting vision, seeing impact. So sometimes I get hyper-focused and I can get lost in my work. Now hear me. Work is a good thing. Did you know that? Work is a gift from God. In Genesis, God gives Adam and Eve daily work. He says, cultivate the garden, be fruitful. It's a gift. But it's important you have a God-given purpose in your life. Whether it's raising kids at home or you work in a classroom, you design graphics, you stock shelves, you run a business, whatever. The problem is our American culture encourages overworking. It's one of our culturally acceptable sins. In fact, I was thinking about this week. I was like, this is the only one of the 10 commandments we brag about breaking every week. You ever have that? When someone comes up to you and say, hey, how's work, Tim? Oh man, I'm so crazy at work. I worked 14 days straight. Woo, I broke the Sabbath. I'm a Christian. But I just totally ignored that command. Literally, like, does anybody brag about committing murder? Like, how you doing, Tim? Well, I just killed a guy. It was amazing, you know? We brag about breaking the Sabbath. If you're used to working 24/7, understand the Sabbath is a hard spiritual habit to establish, but with God's help, you can do this. Let me just show you how. I'm going to close with this. I saw something fascinating this week while researching this. The Ten Commandments show up in two places in the Old Testament. Exodus, we just read that. But they're said a second time in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuter means second, nomos means law. This is the second time God gives his law, the Ten Commandments. This is 40 years after Exodus. So God's giving his law a second time to the next generation. And it's almost word for word the same, but there's a difference. See if you catch it. It says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days, do all your email, your text, or your fat, whatever, and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Got that. In Exodus, of course, we know says, why? Because God rested on the seventh day. But watch, Deuteronomy says this. Remember that you were what? Slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. See, God's people, the Israelites, were slaves working in Egypt for 400 years before God said, I want you to take a Sabbath. They worked 7 days a week, 365 days a year for a guy named Pharaoh, who was a tyrant. Anybody got a Pharaoh? You work for Pharaoh? Okay. He basically used the Israelites for slave labor on massive building projects that were never done. He crushed them under a yoke of slavery for 400 years. Do you know what it's like to be a slave for 400 years? For four centuries. Your parents never had a day off. Your grandparents never had a day. Your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents, they never rested. Nobody tasted freedom. Nobody worshiped God publicly. Slaves existed for a single purpose, to produce, perform. That's the only identity they had. If you didn't work, you had no worth. Listen to me. Your work does not determine your worth in God's eyes. Work is what we do and enjoy doing, but it's not the deepest truth about who you are in the sight of God. You are a human being in God's eyes, not a human doing. But when things get twisted and your job or your title becomes the source of your identity, we start believing our work is what gives us our worth, and that leads to slavery. You end up in Egypt. Make more bricks, less straw from Pharaoh. But the Bible says, man, after 400 years, God said, enough. I want to stop this right now. And with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, he rescued his people from Pharaoh. He sent 10 plagues, killed Pharaoh's firstborn, and he leads the Israelites to freedom. In other words, you can stop your work now, folks. You are now free to worship me. God said your worth doesn't come from what you do, but who you are. You are no longer slaves. You are a blood-bought, fully forgiven child of the King. Amen? I'm giving you a new identity. I have saved you from slavery. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of that place with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, because of that, the Lord God commanded you to stop your work and observe the Sabbath. It's about receiving God's freedom, his unconditional love for you apart from your work. You know God doesn't love you because of what you do? He loves you because of who he is. It's called grace. It's this undeserved love basking in the love of the Father. You can stop striving and just bask in God's affection apart from any performance. That's what sets us apart as Jesus people. You are loved by your creator. He's your Abba, he's your daddy. Because his son Jesus has set you free from slavery to sin. So break your chains, and I'm saying live free. Say live free. Live free. Some of us are still living in Egypt. We've got Jesus in our heart, but we've still got Egypt in our bones. Yeah? In fact, some of us work for a tyrant called Pharaoh in our heads, saying you can't stop, you can't rest, you've got to keep going, you got to make more bricks. If you stop working, you'll die. What worth will you have? But I just feel like today God is calling some of you out of Egypt. He's calling you out of your workaholism, out of your addiction to adrenaline. God's reaching out with a mighty hand outstretched arm to set you free so you can worship him. Give him a praise if you believe it, guys. He said it's finished. On the cross, what is Jesus' last words? He said, it is finished. I completed the work. I paid your bill of sin. You got nothing left to strive for. It's grace. You're worthy, not because of your work, but because of my grace. Amen? So who's ready to Sabbath? Make some noise if you're ready for a day off with God, man. Oh, it's a gift. So four things this week to prepare for your Sabbath to be successful. If you're going to stop being a slave to Pharaoh and build this rhythm into your life, here's how to do it, okay? Really quick. First is, of course, stop and designate a day. Again, could be Sunday for you, but make your Sabbath a full 24 hours of rest. For some people, it's, you know, they start at night and they can do it to half day because they work on weekends, whatever. Make that day off, the day off before running errands and doing housework. That's what we do on the day before. But take that Sabbath a day of true rest. If Sunday doesn't work, by the way, pick a different day. There's flexibility. Don't be legalistic. In Romans, the Apostle Paul, he wrote this. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day, they do it to honor him. So maybe you work on weekends like I do. I made Sabbath. My Sabbath is Friday. Maybe it needs to be in the middle of the week. Maybe you got little kids or you work 6 days. So just start with 12 hours. It'll look different, but try to pick one consistent time period and avoid hopping around. Second thing, you need to rest. Everyone say rest. Set clear boundaries this week. Set apart your Sabbath from business as usual. Sit down as a family, make a plan. I want you to talk about this over lunch today. Think of what has to be done to clear the way for a true Sabbath. What errands, what emails, what grocery shopping, what bills, mowing the lawn, whatever. What are you going to avoid? Maybe on the Sabbath, you ban any talk about work for 24 hours. Yeah? That's what I do. We don't talk about Liquid. I love Liquid, but we do take time off. I recommend turning off your computers, silencing your phones, turn your smartphone into a dumb phone on the Sabbath. Go dark on social media one day a week. Avoid scrolling, binging Netflix, and instead prioritize worship. Cultivate a heart of gratitude with your church family. This is essential, guys. Worship's the whole point of the Sabbath. If you take a Sabbath without worship, you know what that's called? A weekend. Every week, Jesus went to a synagogue and stopped on the Sabbath, and he worshiped with God's people. Again, it's great to worship alone in your private time with God, but something special happens. When we come together as brothers and sisters, we lift our hands, we don't get prideful, we turn our praise to God and offer our heart, not Christian karaoke. Singing is what we do with our voices, worship is what we do with our hearts. We cry, holy, 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 holy. Guys, Christ has saved you from sin and slavery. You're now this free child of the risen God, totally accepted in God's eyes, so you can stop striving and bow before his throne. If you feel dry today, oh, you can be filled afresh by the Holy Spirit. God can't resist a humble, hungry heart. And so remember to delight. I want to encourage you to make a happy list, not a to-do list, a happy list. Just a list of places and people that energize you. What's life giving to your soul? Do it today. Go on a hike with your family. Play frisbee golf, whatever. Curl up on the couch, get lost in a good novel. Read for pleasure, not for work. Whatever cultivates that spirit of rest and joy. And I'll tell you this last thing. Practicing Jews, I'm serious. They will take a what they call a holy nap. They had a special name for it. They call it the Shabbat Shluf. This holy nap. Make love to your spouse. Married couples, is that on your happy list? I hope so. Do whatever pampers your soul, but be careful. Listen. Just be careful. There's a big difference between recreation and restoration. Recreation is often just wrecking creation. You know, like more movies, TV, shopping, going out, just busyness and distraction that leaves you more tired than ever, not refreshed. But put on your happy list things that are life-giving to your soul and your heart. And don't stress out. Give yourself grace. There may be challenges that are unique to your season of life. It's different. When you're caring for little kids, I get it. Or maybe you're like me, now you've got elderly parents to take care of. Or maybe you're the sandwich, you're in between. You know what Jesus said? I love this. Jesus is never legalistic. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath is God's gift made just for you. Think about it. God gave you 52 days off this year. Thank you, Lord. So in 2024, as you stop your work and you make room for worship, let me tell you what's going to happen. It's going to affect your soul. You're going to feel more clarity. There'll be more calm in your house, a spirit of peace. Instead of being stressed all the time, you're actually going to show up and look relaxed and rested. And people are going to be like, did you go to Florida? No, man. I took a Sabbath. Less stress, more Sabbath. Amen. Give God a praise if you agree. All right, let's do this. Stand up with me. Would you stand up? I want to respond in worship right now. So just raise your hands, open them up. Open hands are just a posture of an open heart. Bow your heads, pray with me. Jesus, we thank you for the gift of the Sabbath. A whole 24 hours this week set aside to worship you. God, we thank you for reaching with a mighty hand and outstretched arm to deliver us from slavery to overwork, from our bondage to busyness. Lord, we declare freedom over the people of God. Our identity comes from you, Jesus, alone, your finished work on the cross. And so, Lord, we just confess today, some of us feel tired. We've been running hard. In fact, we've run right through your stop sign to the detriment of our souls. Maybe we feel dry or depleted or distant. Father, would you forgive us for breaking the fourth commandment? Forgive me sometimes for bragging how busy I am and how much we work. Forgive us for treating worship casually as a preference, not a priority. You're a You're a holy God. And so we say, holy, holy, holy. Awesomely awesome, awesomeness are you. Jesus, you declared the Sabbath holy. So together now as your bride, we lift our hands and our hearts to worship you this Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.